Petri Wine brings you Basil Rathbone and Nigel Bruce in the new adventures of Sherlock Holmes.
A terrible crime's been committed here in Studio 360. A thief has robbed our safe, the safe where we store all our public radio tote bags. Can you describe the suspect, Holmes?
Well, he's a tall man. The width of his stride indicates that, and he's thin. Our thief dabbles extensively in chemicals, as indicated by the tarnishing of the knob on the safe, and he's obviously in close contact with the criminal classes.
Just amazing, Holmes. But it sounds almost as if you could be describing yourself.
The dividing line between the criminal and the criminal investigator is thinner than you might imagine, my dear doctor.
Yes, but have you any inkling who stole our tote bags?
As soon as I get an answer to my telegrams, I'll explain the whole thing to you.
Very well, then, Holmes.
I think that's enough excitement for one day, don't you? After all, I am supposed to be taking a holiday.
For this holiday weekend, Hollywood has a present for us. Robert Downey Jr. starring as Sherlock Holmes with Jude Law as Watson.
I never complain. When do I complain about you practicing the violin at 3 a.m? Or your mess? Your general lack of hygiene or the fact that you steal my clothes?
I understand. Dear, what you need is rest.
There's not that much 19th century pop culture that still plays so well.
Holmes, if I were to go to the country, it would be with my future wife.
Well, certainly if we must.
No, not you.
Sir Arthur Conan Doyle introduced Sherlock Holmes in a Victorian magazine called Beaton's Christmas Annual in 1887. Since then, there have been hundreds of adaptations, plays, movies, radio dramas, TV shows. But Holmes is not stuck in the past. WNYC's Sarah Montague looked at how the character keeps changing with the times.
From an acting point of view, it's like a tightrope of a part.
David Stewart Davies is the author of several books about the screen career of Sherlock Holmes.
Murder?
There's no doubt about it in my mind. Or perhaps I should say in my imagination. But that's where crimes are conceived and where they're solved.
You have to do so much. You have to be cold and arrogant, but at the same time charismatic and likeable. And it's a very difficult thing. Many, many great actors have tried playing Holmes and failed.
The stories were written carelessly with many contradictory details. Nevertheless, Holmes turned out to be the Hamlet of detective fiction, a rite of passage, a proving ground.
Conan Doyle created an incomplete portrait of Holmes in his creation of the character. It's rather like one of those paintings by numbers, pictures with some of the segments left blank.
The first great theatrical Holmes was William Gillette, an American actor who premiered his play Sherlock Holmes in 1899. It was Gillette who introduced the iconic trappings most people associate with Holmes, the ubiquitous deerstalker, the curvy pipe and brocade dressing gown, and his naturalistic acting style gave Conan Doyle's acerbic Victorian gentleman a matinee idol appeal. But Holmes evolved with the times, and when Basil Rathbone stepped onto the moors in the 1939 Hound of the Baskervilles, it was with the keen fervor of a wartime champion.
For the British, he seemed wholly England, standing personified against whatever foe.
Sherlockian scholar Susan Rice.
He was sure of himself, and at a time of an enormous turmoil, isn't that what you seek? The sure hand to pull you up out of the abyss.
Make no mistake, Watson. This is not a duel of intellect. The cruel but single-minded Gestapo killer. This is our greatest problem. With England as the stake, and our antagonist, Professor Moriarty.
With the Nazis vanquished, Holmes receded to the realm of schoolboy classics, and the complacent 1950s couldn't quite pull him off the page. He revived in the restless decades that followed, and something had changed.
I think today what we celebrate in Sherlock Holmes is not so much the heroism. Instead, it's the determined outsider.
Leslie Klinger, author of The New Annotated Sherlock Holmes.
Holmes is a loner. Holmes bucks the system. Holmes is independent. He doesn't necessarily follow the law. He takes the law into his own hands.
And in the 1976 film The 7% Solution, he has an emblematic counterculture weakness. Here's Nicole Williamson's Holmes battling cocaine addiction with the help of Sigmund Freud.
Who am I that your friends should wish us to meet?
Beyond the fact that you are a brilliant Jewish physician who was born in Hungary and studied for a while in Paris, and that certain radical theories of yours have alienated the respectable medical community so that you have severed your connections with various hospitals and branches of the medical fraternity, beyond this I can deduce little.
Today we probably diagnose him as bipolar, vast mood swings, depending on whether he has a case in front of him.
As it happens, the next great Holmes was bipolar.
My mind rebels at stagnation. Give me problems. Give me work. Give me the most abstruse cryptogram, the most intricate analysis, and I'm in my proper atmosphere. But I abhor the dull routine of existence.
Jeremy Brett breathed new life into Holmes in 41 lush TV adaptations of the original Conan Doyle stories, beginning in 1984. Brett's own manic depression colored and sometimes undermined his performances, which swung from taut to grandiose, but gave him a unique perspective on a character he felt was as fragile as he was. Here's Brett in an 80s television interview.
I've always thought Holmes was a sort of damaged penguin or a kind of black beetle. I never thought he was heroic at all. Yeah. I wouldn't cross the road to meet him. And I found him an enormous strain to play. He is a very dark private man.
Tomorrow, at midday, the world as you know it will end.
Well, there isn't any time to waste then, is there?
Or not so dark and private.
It's kind of a 19th century James Bond.
Director Guy Ritchie describes his pyrotechnic new film, Sherlock Holmes, as polarized, using fast-paced contemporary film techniques to reflect Holmes' dual nature.
You should feel his antipathy toward being left with his own thoughts for too long. It's not a unique idea that geniuses are flawed, that proportionate to the shine is proportionate to the shade.
And who better to embody shine and shade than Robert Downey Jr., whom Ritchie says was designed to play this role. He cites a dazzling Raging Bull-like fight scene as an example of what he calls Downey's Holmes-o-vision.
Which is Robert's almost autistic ability to induce an enormous amount of information.
First, distract target. Then block his blind jab. Counter with cross to left cheek. Heel kick to diaphragm. In summary, ears ringing, jaw fractured, 3 ribs cracked, 4 broken, physical recovery 6 weeks, 4 psychological recovery 6 months, capacity to spit it back of head neutralized.
He's both esoteric and accessible. You know, he's a multidimensional character. There's something there to both titillate the spirit and the intellect.
Here dwell together still two men of note, who never lived and so can never die, wrote the poet Vincent Sterrett in his 1942 sonnet, 221B Baker Street. The poem concludes, "Here, though the world explode, these two survive, and it is always 1895. It is up to Robert Downey Jr. to demonstrate that he is the 21st century Holmes, and that it is always 1895. For Studio 360, I'm Sarah Montague.
Sherlock Holmes, starring Robert Downey Jr., is out this weekend.